The best bridge between despair and hope is a good night's sleep. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, we have our Wellness Wednesday segment, where we learn how to stop struggling with sleep deprivation and fall asleep fast. Enjoy.
I assume you're here because you already understand that sleep is a top priority for good health. But in either case, let me first quickly point out just one thing about sleep. Before you stay up late to get just a little bit more work done, or watch that movie newly added to Netflix, think about the things you need to do or the decisions you need to make tomorrow, and decide whether all that is okay to do after a couple beers in the morning. There are several studies that compare sleep impairment to drunkenness, and this one in particular found that just 17 to 19 hours of going without sleep, a normal day for most of us, was equivalent or worse to a blood alcohol concentration of 0.05%. After 4 days on 5 hours of sleep, you're almost the equivalent of too drunk to drive. And then in 14 days on 6 hours of sleep, you're as bad as if you had stayed up an entire night. Alright, so how do we get more quality sleep? We live in a very cyclic world. We have four seasons, stars have annual patterns, some birds migrate annually, and of course circadian rhythms are very important for most living things. Even bacteria have circadian rhythms. Humans are no different. We have a daily dose of cortisol in the morning to wake us up, and a rise in melatonin at night to put us to sleep. We also have ultradian rhythms, rhythms shorter than 24 hours where we experience oscillations in alertness, concentration, and physical performance throughout the day. Unfortunately, nowadays, we're either moving so fast or medicating these rhythms with caffeine to the point that we're no longer aware of them. However, if you can act in sync with these rhythms, falling asleep and getting up in the morning can be as smooth and seamless as a rower hitting a good stroke. What we should strive for, and what our bodies would like for us to do, is to fall asleep just a few hours after the sun goes down. This differs depending on where in the world you are, but for most people it's around 10 p.m. As you're awake throughout the day, adenosine builds up in the brain and you develop a sleep pressure. Then, during the night, physiological processes such as melatonin secretion work to set up a sleep window. If the buildup of sleep pressure and the sleep window are in alignment, then you drift off to sleep without a hitch. However, if the sleep window is out of sync with the sleep pressure due to using caffeine too much, having a wonky sleep schedule, or because you're stimulating yourself with your phone before bed, then you'll miss your chance. After the sleep window closes, usually around 11 p.m., your body is programmed to give you a second wind of energy in the form of cortisol, which can keep you awake until as late as 2 a.m. Now, if you have the flexibility in your schedule to go to sleep at 2 and wake up at 9, that might not sound like such a big deal. But the anti-carcinogen and antioxidant melatonin, as well as human growth hormone, the youth hormone, are secreted in their strongest doses between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. If your body is chronically deprived of the regenerative sleep between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., then you may still feel fatigued when you wake up in the morning. An easy way to set yourself up to fall asleep at this time is by resetting your biological clock by getting some sun in the morning between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. Research from the journal Innovations in Clinical Neuroscience found that exposure to sunlight in the morning significantly decreased cortisol levels later in the day. By getting some sunlight when you wake up, you set your cortisol and melatonin to be at optimal levels for getting a good night's sleep and falling asleep at the right time. A caveat here is that your body is very good at latching on to whatever rhythm it can, so if for whatever reason your schedule does not allow for you to go to bed by 10 p.m., try and at least keep the same bedtime each night. We're a lot more like Pavlov's dogs than we'd like to think. Your body will anchor whatever physiological processes it can to certain times of day and to your environment and even to objects. This is one reason why it's imperative to keep the phone and the laptop out of bed. If you like watching movies or playing games at night, fine, but you don't want your brain saying, "Oh, we're in bed. It must be time to play Flappy Bird." If you can train your mind to understand that 10 p.m. is the time for sleep and your bed is the place for sleep and only sleep, it will do the work for you. Then, if you can establish a pre-sleep routine that always happens in the same sequence, take a bath, make some herbal tea, read a book, whatever, that will then create even more anchors associated with sleep, and it will be even easier to pass out quickly after your head hits the pillow. Now, this might not be all that compelling, but your brain is very good at automating processes like this. Taking advantage of this automatic processing and establishing simple positive associations like bed only with sleep is called cognitive behavior therapy, and it's used as a method for treating insomnia. I said that you don't want to associate the bed with using your phone, but there's another big reason for this. The light and dark cycle perceived by the eye is the most important regulator of your biological clock. You have something called photosensitive retinal ganglion cells in your eyes that are highly sensitive to blue light in particular. Originally, the light from the sun was the only blue light that made it to our eyes. So having specialized cells in the eye to look for blue light was very effective for regulating our biological clocks. However, our technology has advanced dramatically, but our human hardware is still relying on these blue light sensors in our eyes to determine whether it is day or night and whether we should be alert or resting. When it comes to sleep, looking at a bright blue light is as alarming to your eyes as a loud barking dog is to your ears. As Sean Stevenson explains in his book Sleep Smarter, the artificial blue light emitted by electronic screens triggers your body to produce more daytime hormones such as cortisol and suppress the secretion of the key sleep hormone, melatonin. Try to stop looking at screens at least 1 hour before you go to bed so that your cortisol and melatonin levels can normalize.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.